because we're already drinking in the middle of a Friday afternoon. And welcome aboard the Funny Boat Podcast. We are in a boatyard.
We are.
It's weird.
A boatyard office, to be very precise.
Because I didn't bring a boat here. I haven't broken anything.
I didn't bring an office.
Okay. But we are at Annapolis Harbor Boat. Wait.
Yard.
Abbey. Annapolis Harbor Boatyard. It is written literally right in front of me. That's pretty embarrassing.
Well, you know, it's a Friday
closer
afternoon.
Or larger. Letters are 1¼ inches apiece. So.
And we are here with John. John, I think your last name is Smith.
Norton.
Norton. But oh,
close.
My God.
You were so close.
It's all right. Kate Blue.
Captain. That would have been great.
Well, so the problem is he's in my phone as John, not Kurt.
Oh, that's helpful.
And in parentheses, Seakeeper.
Oh, okay.
Because that's, I know you as the person that I call when somebody has a Seakeeper on the fritz.
Yeah.
And it's because you are a Seakeeper dealer, which is this amazing system that if you don't know about it, probably because you're a sailboater.
Mm.
If you are a powerboater, odds are you have had a cocktail on board a boat with a Seakeeper and
right.
gone, oh man, I need this thing.
Yeah. Very nice. Yeah.
It's a spinning gyroscope that basically helps boats to stay still in rolling seas. And it's very, very cool technology. But I'm not interested in that. I'm interested in how crusty and old this particular place mm-hmm. is. John, there's a history here. Can you tell me how old this place is?
The building or the yard?
Let's go with both.
So the yard, according to the placard at the end of First Street down here, Ooh. Has been here since approximately 1860 something or other.
Oh wow.
Civil War.
So it's only slightly older than some of my staff.
Okay, and you are, how many owners have there been of this yard? Do you know?
So since the yard was reformed back into a full service yard in, from what I remember, 1978 or 75, Mike could tell us exactly because he's not here now. There have been 7 or 8.
Oh, wow. That's not as many as I would have thought.
No.
That's not a lot of people
at all. It's not a lot of people. It's not a lot.
Holy smokes.
And one would think with all the drinking that you have to do to run this place, there would have been a whole lot more.
So are we currently co-owners?
Cheers.
Cheers.
Lessees, we shall call it.
Okay. So you, what kind of boats do you handle here?
So we primarily deal with recreational vessels, anything from your little tenders on up to, our average is about 55 to 60 feet. We have worked on vessels up to about 130 feet. We try to stay away from those. They require a lot more work, a lot more insurance.
Mm-hmm.
But our primary bread and butter is 30 to 60 feet.
And what are you typically doing as the yard
yes.
on those size?
Yes.
Yes. Everything. All in, woodwork. It, you name it.
It can vary. We do... woodworking, we do custom cabinetry, we do Seakeeper installs, Seakeeper ride installs, generalized maintenance, uh-huh. so plumbing, electrical, mechanical work, your traditional sort of oil changes, your generalized right. service, and then we have an incredibly talented team that does our glass work, fiberglass work, oh. paint work, paint repairs,
uh-huh.
Major structural repairs, structural rebuilds. We do all of that on site. So. We're kind of the last of the dying breed. We don't call in the 500 different contractors
right.
to get something accomplished. It's all done with our team in-house.
Nice.
So we've got a boat that's down here now that we are hoping to finish up today. Yeah. That we've done everything from figuring out why it trips the GLCIs on the docks to fixing gel coat to doing something as mundane as recaulking the faux teak on the swim platform. So it's that whole breadth of incredibly right. skilled to pretty much anybody can do it.
Mm-hmm.
Fascinating. Okay. Yeah. So if somebody wants to work here and you've got some kind of gig for them, is that about right?
Pretty much.
Okay.
Yeah. We love when people don't have a clue. Well, it's true. We get a chance to train from the bottom up
right.
and literally from the bottom, because that's where you're going to start. You're going to start sanding, and you're going to start scraping, and you're going to clean barnacles off, and then we're going to teach you the skill sets.
Amazing. I love that Marine Trades Association of Maryland is constantly trying to help people find these boating jobs, but you do start with boat bottoms.
Like, yeah, yeah.
I've done bottom jobs.
So like, did I.
This sounds wrong.
Yep.
hang on, let me... How did I get here? anyway. So basically, the bottom of a hull does require maintenance. There's growth, there's paint, there's ablatives, there's all kinds of new technology coming down the pipe with that. Do you have to, how long does it take for you to train somebody to start there?
Starting on the bottoms, we start to feel comfortable with people after about 60 to 90 days, depending upon their aptitude for learning. And for some of us, myself included, and especially, that is a whole lot more difficult because we like to do things in our own way.
Uh-huh.
But that's why I said we want to start with people from the bottom and teach them our way. We've proven it. We've been here for years. It works really well. So we'll continue teaching our way.
Yeah. I like that. I like that a lot. That makes me feel good. So you can do full refits here.
We can and we have.
Okay. What was your favorite refit you've done?
Well, we're still in the process of doing a 38 Bertram. You can't really see the photos, but...
God, I love a Bertram.
The original boat is up there on the wall.
Okay. Oh, I love a Bertram.
And what it will look like is over here on this other wall, completely redone and digitized and colored and everything else.
Ooh, so you're really getting in there. So for those of you that don't know, a Bertram is sort of a hybrid between a fishing boat and a cruising style boat. It has this fabulous fly bridge, but it's like a little bite-sized one. And then a lot of them were gas powered, which is crazy. It's got twin gas engines. They go super fast. But then I just really like the look of them. I think that they're very attractive. And if I ever owned one, I would name her Bertrude.
Oh, very nice.
It is actually a dream boat of mine. I didn't even realize that. Until
they have a cult following. Like Allures or, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, this isn't the 31. This is a 38. But we've refit our 23 Seacraft from 1973.
Ooh.
Kate's seen that. That's our little Seakeeper demo boat. And she's a pretty little periwinkle boat. And the Bertram will be the same color combo. So it'll be the periwinkle hull and then the white decks.
So you do have a paint shed here.
We have a multi-use facility.
nice.
But we do have the ability to do paint work here on site.
Interesting. Nice. Okay, so my husband also works in boat repair and boat yards. And one of the things that comes up a lot is the fact that it sure would have been nice if the client had told them.
Yeah. X.
So I kind of want to take this opportunity because I feel like a lot of our listeners are boat owners who do have to come to people and say, can you fix my boat? So I want to help them help you. What advice do you have for somebody bringing their boat to you for work?
Yeah. What's your dream scenario of the client?
Somebody that has their crap together and knows what they want.
Mm-hmm.
That's our easiest. Now, I won't say it's our most fun, but it makes our clients' stay in our facility shorter. So if you come in and you've got a list of 20 things and you say, I've got a week to get this done, the chances of getting all of those done, depending upon what they are, vary. But we stand a much better chance if you come in with the list of 20 things and say, I have a week, versus coming in with a list of 5 and saying, I have a week, and then adding on the other 15.
Yeah.
So it's a lot easier on our end if you know what you want, but if you don't, we'll guide you.
Mm-hmm. Okay. What does that guidance look like? So let's say I buy a Bertram and she's not in great shape and I'm not sure what I want to do, but I want to make sure that everybody on the dock knows I have a really awesome boat.
So we're going to have a conversation with you quickly about what's not working on the boat that you're aware of.
Okay.
And we'll start at that list. And then we're going to go down the list of what do you really want?
Okay.
And that'll be our secondary list. Mm-hmm. So the first list is what has to get up and running for you to be able to go enjoy yourself. And the second is your wish list. And as your as the budget allows, we're going to tick off that wish list item. So it's it can be sort of like.
Is it a give and take? Or
it's like going to a bar.
Okay.
Saying, ooh, I want a drink.
I'm already interested.
Figured you would.
What are you serving?
What do you want?
Ooh.
See? Do you see this vicious cycle?
Oh, man. This is why I really like what we do, though, is because all the rest of my job, I'm not allowed to drink for. This is great.
Oh.
Wait, that's you're sad. Drinking?
Shh. Don't tell the rest of the yard people. Okay, that's really interesting to me. Why? It seems stressful, though, as well, because it's almost too open-ended, because I've gotten onto a boat and gone, huh, that's not behaving the way I would think it would.
Mm-hmm.
And then I can say to a tech, hey, this isn't turning on when I think it should turn on, or this is intermittent, or this just doesn't seem to work at all. And then they'll get on board and it turns out that there's just a fuse missing somewhere in mm-hmm. line that just needs to get swapped out. But I was hopeless in finding it.
And that's about 10% of what we do.
Okay.
Yeah.
The simple mundane fixes. And then we get into the more complicated of, hey, my generator's not working. Why? Well, the control board was underwater 2 years ago, so it really isn't going to work, but we can fix it if we replace the circuit board, because electricity and salt water don't exactly mix.
Well, it was brackish, so it shouldn't be that big of a deal.
Here's a question. Would you rather a client do some amount of diagnostics beforehand or not?
Ooh. Well, we charge separately for that.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. If you help, it's...
Labor rate is X. If you touched it before, it's X times 2. Yeah. If you want to watch, it's X times 5. Yeah.
If you say, I could do this myself, but that's double.
That's 10X.
There you go.
I love it. Okay, that makes a lot of sense to me, especially because my husband, again, is a technician. He fixes boats. He was my ship's engineer, but now he does more varied vessels. You are unusually personable, though, for somebody who
apparently you don't know
boats.
Me that well.
I suppose I always see you at boat shows when you're on your best behavior.
Yeah, right.
Why is that a common trait among the boat fixers of the world, that they're a little crabby, I'm gonna go with.
Jaded, maybe.
Salty.
Okay.
Yeah. You know, I think it's because of what we talked about, right? We get the list of the 5 items that people want us to fix, and then they add the 15. Mm-hmm. And now we have to figure out how we can squeeze those extra 15 items into that, you know, 4 hours on a Friday that doesn't exactly work. Which is why they say, I'm pretty sure, don't leave port on a Friday.
Right.
Yeah. Oh, it's just because your yard was pissed off at you. They did not finish.
You had unhealthy expectations.
A little whiskey in the fuel never hurt any engine.
It's my motto. As a matter of fact.
But you're the engine.
Yeah, exactly.
That might be the other problem.
Oh, God. I mean, this yard is so busy, too. And for prime real estate in Annapolis, it's got to be very intense telling people when you have time for them. Like, do people get heartbroken all the time? Are you?
They do, especially here in the fall.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going south and I need my toilet fixed. Well, that sucks.
Yeah.
We'll get to you in 3 weeks. But no, it's tough. We try to squeeze in as much as we can, but it's just like anything. There's only so much time in a day.
Right.
So we have to weigh that out. And fortunately, that's not my job. My job is to say yes. And my service manager doesn't like that.
Yeah. Yeah.
But yeah. Mm-hmm. He has to say yes to me.
I love that. I see you have core values.
We do.
Should I... Am I allowed to read those? Because there's some signs in here that are a little bit spicier, but which I would expect from a bunch of salty folk.
Oh, but it does say cleats if you add them all up there.
That's
oh,
true.
That's cute. Look okay.
Can you read from
I
afar?
I can't. I'm wait. Yes, I can actually. Clarification?
No. Pretty clearly, the vision is not as good as the voice.
No. Absolutely not.
It's cleanliness is professional.
Ooh,
cleanliness
I love that.
Is professional.
This is
because
oh locked
my God.
In on that one.
Thank
and
you.
Everybody's been to a boatyard when you get back on, and footprints are everywhere. And I won't say we're perfect, but we right. try really hard.
You know what? It's one of those things that. Is an added level of professionalism that I love to see. Yep. It means that you care. It means you're not going to forget to put, you know, the goop on the bolt that you just put down. And I'm going to have to find out about it when it's rotted completely off.
From my experience, that's the best thing you can hear from a client. I didn't even know you were here. I didn't know you were on board.
That's the best thing ever.
That's it's like, then I,
so you, but they're usually coming? Offended when we give them the bill, and they doesn't look like we did anything.
Surprise!
I don't know why.
Okay, what's that next one up there? Look for safety. Okay, yeah, you don't want people slicing their heads off.
And that doesn't mean, that's going to hurt.
No, that means look for safety for our clients.
Oh, okay.
What's about to hurt our clients? Are the through holes good? Is the you know, is the fuel system operating? Is there a fuel leak? Because you know, gasoline, spark, bilges. They
usually
have a tendency to go boom.
Okay.
Then every boat's a gem.
Oh, okay.
Because there is no piece of beep.
Anywhere. Okay. Every boat
I don't know.
Is a gem. But I mean, my boat is totally a
gem. You haven't asked Kate about my sailboat.
Oh, God.
But it's your dream, right?
Yeah.
If you were in a boatyard and somebody called it a piece of whatever, pick your fluent word.
Yeah.
Your expletive. You'd be probably a little offended.
I really like this. Okay, attitude is something.
Everything.
Oh, these aren't cursive, okay? That's why it's hard to read.
That's about as block print as it gets.
That is not. They are
it's
all
italics.
Italics.
Yeah, so.
Okay.
Yeah.
That is
italics. I
should
have said
Roman.
Italics, not cursive. No, that is italics.
Attitude is everything.
Yeah.
Attitude is everything. Okay, I sometimes agree with that.
So is that attitude towards, is that the customer's attitude? Is that technician's attitude or all of the above?
Well, if a customer's attitude isn't real good, do you think the tech's attitude is going to be real good?
There is nothing that we can't, and then there's an ellipsis after that, which is a really fun way to make that as open-ended as humanly possible.
Right.
Exactly. I enjoy that. And stay in communication. Okay,
ooh.
It is up there. I am very into your little cleat.
Yeah, cleats. I like that.
Core values. Yeah. That's so cute.
I'm going to have to snap that before we roll up.
Right? I have no core values.
Clearly.
It's funny. I have a new client that I was put in touch with, and I called them and I left them a voicemail. But as I'm leaving them a voicemail, like as I'm at the grocery store and I see... this, like,
tomato.
Like honestly, I see this person, and they pull a bunch of meat out of the
here we go
the thing, and like they're trying to balance it, and I'm like, oh no, they are definitely not going to make it back to their cart because their cart for some reason was way on the other side, and they're balancing this thing precariously, and I'm totally transfixed by it, like will they, won't they, but I'm still trying to leave this voicemail for this client, and I'm pretty sure I lost that client, which you think this podcast would lose me more clients, but it doesn't, because nobody's listening.
Are we trying hard enough? Are we really trying hard enough? That's what I
so I'm sure that was a terrible voicemail. I'm so sorry.
Right.
I probably lost that delivery job. Oh well.
It happens.
But speaking of, one of the prime culprits for causing boats to come to the yard are delivery captains.
Oh.
I fully, you can't see it, but he's nodding a lot right now.
We've had our fair share of delivery. Oops, I need this fixed nows.
Oh, gel coat issue?
I personally know of a delivery captain whose mate, you know, diesel generator, gas engines.
Whoops. Ooh, been there, done
not
that.
Yeah.
Swap the tanks.
20 to 1. That's the ratio.
Oh, is it?
Mm-hmm.
There's so I've been trying. I was wondering. I was
the
like,
amount
okay.
of diesel in gas. Mm. See, I learned something now.
What about the amount of gas and diesel? I don't think it's the same. It can't be.
That's actually what.
Is it gas and diesel or diesel and gas?
Gas to diesel. So if you.
It depends on if it's common rail or not.
Mm. Yeah, I'm thinking it's if you have gas in diesel, it's 1 to 20.
Okay. Okay, that makes sense.
It does make sense. I can tell you when it's 20 to 1, it doesn't work real well. And the engine just sort of shuts down.
It's a lot of cavitation going on, right?
They run real rough. Oh, God. But we've had that happen.
Yeah.
We've seen that.
Knocking on this beautiful table here, but I have not made that mistake, mm-mm. but mostly because I have extreme paranoia around it.
Yeah.
The other thing we've seen is diesel fuel in the water tanks.
No.
Mm. Yeah.
I have no idea how I've you seen, would pick that.
I've seen.
Sorry to bring that up, Dad.
Yeah. I have seen the fuel nozzle in the rod holder.
Oh yeah, I've seen that.
Oh
which,
no.
Which is usually very quickly identified as like, what is that feeling on my foot?
Or not when it goes straight into the bilge.
Yeah.
Oh no.
Been there, done that, seen that. Not
yeah.
fun.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Okay, these are very hectic things that I feel like all of the YouTube channels that talk about boating mistakes right
oh,
now,
yeah.
they just show boats crashing into things or running aground and stuff like right. that. They don't show the, like, I am an idiot and put the nozzle in the wrong place.
Yeah.
Because one would think that that's common sense.
I've even,
but there you go thinking.
I've even experienced the diesel fuel in the septic tank.
What?
Mm. Ooh, can't say yeah. I've seen that one.
Yeah, that was,
how do you,
that's
oh,
crappy.
No.
Yeah. It was
oh,
shit.
That's
it was
so
a shitty
dangerous.
Deal all the way around. I've seen that once, and that's enough.
How I mean,
I don't want to speak of it.
Sounds like personal experience.
No. I mean,
we need to.
I was not
this.
Involved, but I was part of the solution.
Wait, okay. What is the solution? Because you'd have to find a way to pump that out without
mm-hmm.
no spark.
Mm-hmm.
No spark pump out.
The good news is methane is almost as explosive as gasoline, so there shouldn't be that many explosions.
It was a gasoline hand crank pump.
Ooh.
And but then what?
Okay.
Then you start replacing components.
Oh God!
And that's when you call us.
Mm-hmm.
Horrifying. Mm. Okay,
this,
So I hope everyone who owns a boat feels really good about themselves right
learn.
Now.
Learn.
Please learn. Double check, triple check.
It's scary that we're actually giving advice at this
Teach
point in the
people.
Game.
I know, it's horrible. But I promise you, I was on a boat that I knew had a diesel generator and gas outboards not too long ago. And I was not 100% sure if the little symbol on this fuel cap, because it was European and they wanted it to be universal.
Mm.
It was like, it does this mean gas or right. does this mean diesel? And so I literally traced the whole plumbing just to make sure I ended up at the correct tank.
Right. That's a professional.
Yeah.
I am not screwing this up. I refuse.
That's dedication right there.
Well, it's also because I'm on the internet and we'll have to videotape it and tell everybody about it
right.
if I screw that up. So
who would you call for that repair?
Ooh, I honestly...
Would it be the husband?
Yeah, unfortunately, I would beg him to help me with that. But speaking of, so this brings me to, we were talking a little bit about insurance earlier, and insurance is one of those disgusting things that I secretly love talking about. Because
you are sick.
Oh, it's perverse.
Mm,
yeah. It's absolutely revolting. And yet,
the one thing we pay for but never want to use.
Never, yeah. never. But I carry insurance on my own deliveries and license and all that good stuff. But then what insurance will actually cover is a whole other monster in itself. And
that file cabinet over there, I'll tell you what that won't cover.
Okay. It's a good like 6 feet tall. This file cabinet is not small. Lord. So, but you must have to deal with people's insurances.
Yeah. So No.
No.
The beauty for us is we work for our clients, not for the insurance companies. Because not all insurance companies want things fixed correctly. They want it fixed cost effectively.
Wow.
And there is a difference.
Yeah.
No offense to our insurance brokers. We love them all. Not really. But we do. So we work for our clientele.
Yeah.
And we fix the boat to standards, be it ours or ABYC's or pick your poison, whatever the boat is built with. And the insurance companies can repair within a degree back to original, but we won't do that. We fix it, in our opinion, the right way. So it's kind of that whole insurance thing. It's easier for us to work with the individual versus with the corporation. Also because I can get the owner and say, what do you think about X, versus get the owner's agent and get transferred 17 times to get put on hold for an hour and waste time. That's inefficient.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
So. Okay. That sounds about right. All right. Now I have a question that I might get you in trouble with. ABYC is literally, their headquarters is down the street from us right now.
Yes, it is.
Par three.
2.5 blocks.
Okay. I have opinions on ABYC. I think,
as do all of us.
And I do think that there is a lot of value there, but I also see sometimes that they have not updated certain things. Yeah. Do they consult with you, I wonder?
Actually, they do.
I was gonna say they must talk to you guys.
We get questions often. We stay in touch with ABYC. As a matter of fact, John was here a couple days ago picking up fuel stabilizer for one of their vessels. but we did talk to them the other day about, you know, some of their standards and what they're updating and that's coming down the pike for newer equipment.
Oh, that's exciting.
And, you know, what are our thoughts about X, Y, or Z? They also pick our brains about standards for things like Seakeepers.
Yeah. Right?
There is no generalized standard for that because it's a boat manufacturer and it's an equipment manufacturer. And where is the standard? Who knows?
Yeah.
There really isn't one. That's a naval architecture thing. But so we get a chance to get some input on the front end and give some on the back end.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Oh, that feels so good. Because I've noticed that they've been updating more regularly in the last, I would say, like 5 years.
Mm-hmm. Well, so many things are changing so fast.
Yeah, so quickly. Yeah.
Right. Absolutely. So the old standards for, let's just take navigation lights and the wiring, right? So nav lights were always incandescent bulbs. Mm-hmm. So the wiring had to be a certain gauge. With LED lights, you don't need that same power draw, so you can decrease the size of the wire.
Yeah.
They're working on revising all of that.
Yeah.
I can't remember, and forgive me, John and Matt, if I don't get this correct, but I believe those standards have been updated in some of their last outputs of standard E11, which is the electrical codes that we abide by.
Fascinating. Okay, so, that makes me feel really good, actually.
The good news is the fact that they're right down the street, we pick up the phone and call them and say, hey,
hey,
what is today's standard on X?
Riddle me this.
And sometimes we get an answer.
Yeah. Sometimes.
That's pretty good.
Well, it's... So I've had a remodeling construction background in addition to boating and whatever else.
You poor soul.
I know, right? So it's nice to hear that a semi-governing body is talking directly with, you know, the contractor and getting that feedback to make it make sense.
Yeah.
I experienced a lot of things that were code that made zero sense whatsoever in the implementation of doing said thing.
Well, because the government always makes sense.
But it's clear. Bad
week for that.
But it's good that they have that mentality of not we're looking down and you abide by us. They're working.
It's a working relationship. It absolutely is. And that's what we love. You know, they'll call and say, hey, we need photos of X, Y, or Z. do you have anything in the yard? And they will walk the whopping 2.5 blocks down here.
Right.
Because there's zero point in driving unless it's 15 degrees outside. And they'll take the photos and we'll walk them through what we need to do to be able to do
that. Feels that really good to me. That,
and it's great. It's actually like we're being listened to.
Yeah.
What a novel idea.
Yeah, absolutely. That's kind of heartwarming, isn't it?
It is heartwarming.
A little Hallmarky feeling there.
Because I mean, I very rarely have to make my own repairs, but I need to know enough that, oh gosh, I'm the worst podcaster ever.
She is, really.
Oh, Lord.
Our office phones only rang 4 times.
Totally
Gates rings
upset.
Once, and away we go.
Look at this. Oh,
honey, I put mine on Do Not Disturb.
Oh, and now she can't even find the phone.
Now
that's the funnier part.
She'll edit all this shit out.
No, I won't.
I will. I know I won't.
That's too much work. I'm not going to bother with that. No, but somebody always knows when I'm podcasting, I swear. But I will take a real. Thank you so very much. Thank you very, very much.
You're welcome.
Okay, I'm going to toast to boating standards being more adaptive than I think any other industry is currently. I think when I look at my hair salon.
You mean that's not natural?
Wait.
Actually, brownie points.
I know, right?
Hey, I can't.
Okay, I don't think I've actually mentioned this thing on the podcast, though, so... forget I said anything. Ignore me. No, I do have to talk about that eventually. It'll come out.
We haven't talked about that before.
No.
Oh.
No, I'm just a boat captain.
Look at
you
being brave.
Oof. I have no idea what I'm doing anymore.
Crossing lines.
Yeah. The reality is being a boat captain makes you really good at receipts and managing people. Everything else is...
Yeah.
Like, everything else in business is just you figure it out as you go. And then you pray that ABOIC doesn't tell you how wrong you are.
Right, yeah.
or whatever labor department you have to deal with. Anywho.
OSHA.
Right, okay.
Well, you have both of that.
Let's talk about OSHA.
Yeah,
for
I'm going to say you're doubly affected. That's what I always had to worry about with OSHA.
You said it twice. That's the third. If it's like Beetlejuice, you're in trouble. You get to deal with
Jumanji.
Dum, dum, dum.
I hope I come back as The Rock. God, that would be awesome. Highly unlikely.
I'll be Kevin Hart.
Yeah. See, what happened was...
I'm allergic to mosquito bites.
Oh, I think I'm allergic to mosquito bites in real... I know we're talking about a movie, but I haven't seen it, so I'm worthless.
They don't come around me.
See, we're talking about a four-letter government agency.
Oh.
Based on workplace safety.
Oh, yeah, that one. Yeah.
And not production at all.
I have personally... taken my husband to emergency rooms for boat related things.
Mm-hmm.
And it's partly that, well, honestly, that one was my fault, but
never mind.
That one was totally my fault.
Good, Randy.
But there are some really easy things you can do if you're working on your own boat that help you stay safe. My favorite is lockout tagout. Oh my goodness. If you are working on electrical on your boat, you
lick your fingers and stick them in the socket.
Does it?
That's not it.
No.
Lockout tagout is my absolute favorite thing. If you are dealing with anything electrical on your boat, it is such a good idea.
Taking all the fun out of a good electrocution.
Exactly. Now.
However,
we shall call you Sparky.
If you desire to widow yourself, it's a pretty. Oh no, it was a mistake.
Oh no.
That and the folks that want to paint your own bottoms and why you want to do that, we have no idea.
But if your time
a
isn't
respirator.
Worth. No, people are doing that without...
I can't speak on the subject.
Yeah, so as we all grew up with tributyl tin or TBT that was incredibly toxic...
Wow.
It may explain some of why we are here now.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you very much, Smurf Boogers.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
If you sand in the bottom in the 80s, you know what we mean.
Oh, yeah. Preach. Good Lord.
Yeah. No, so, I have a fabulous 3M full face shield.
Oh, yeah.
Like,
it's great. I got one right up here.
I love it. I'm obsessed.
Brand new out of the box.
Like, I paint my fingernails with it on. It's like, ooh.
Yeah, our glass crew just walked through in full Tyvek suits and full respirators and fresh air breathing systems.
I'm not going to talk to you about my bottom job I did 4 years ago.
I'm not talking to you about that. You are a maniac. I'd rather poison myself this way than with paint. There's
lead never did anything to anybody.
It's a blade of it'll wear off.
It's just designed to like keep living organisms off of you. Good Lord.
But this is a fun industry with all kinds of interesting chemicals, isn't it?
Good Lord.
It certainly is, and I'm always impressed whenever I spend time in the yard. I do learn a lot. There's so much to learn. I know that I wish boatyards like yours would have field trip days where adults could come and learn something. Oh, really?
Really? We've done it a bunch.
That's actually smart. That's
yeah. We've had cruising groups from yacht clubs out of the area. Mm-hmm. We had with ABYC as we bring them up again, right?
Yeah.
We had the Educate the Educators.
Okay.
Here in the yard, we did walking tours. That day was a little rainy, but we showed them what we do and why we don't do some of the things we don't do. We've had.
It's okay. It gave up because it's hot in here.
Well, do I need to turn the temperature down?
We'll be okay.
Most people tune out by now.
Most people are gone. Don't worry about it. We just lost camera footage. I'm going to stick in pictures of this place and make it look pretty, and that'll be fine.
Oh, so you're going to edit a lot.
A lot.
Understood. No, but I'm going to go take a picture of that very yellow boat over there. Oh. I just love that paint job. It's too fun.
Yeah, so that boat has a really cool name.
What is it?
Hot Banana.
It's Poor Decisions, P-O-U-R.
Oh.
And it may have been named because of when the boat was bought. There may have been a little alcohol involved.
No.
Absolutely.
Come on. I don't believe it.
Great client of ours. Wonderful human beings. And I kind of named the boat.
That is gorgeous.
While we were drinking.
Yeah. It's got a very
70s
Hulk Hogan look to it.
Well, it's because it's from 1972. And it's on all original Donzie.
Nice.
Oh, she is stunning. I love her. She is like, honestly, I was so excited when I walked up and looking at her. I was like,
So sometimes around here, it looks like an Easter egg hunt. Yeah. Right? What colors are we going to find? I'll bet you always find flag blue in a boatyard.
Yeah. Oh, yes.
Annapolis camouflage.
Annapolis camouflage. Oh, that's so funny.
I like that.
It's the one color we keep in stock.
Yeah.
Any color but flag blue.
That is hilarious.
That kind of makes me. So what is your, as a broker, I always get asked, well, what do you do? What's your split on power versus sale? What do you guys?
So when I took over here in 2008, we were probably 80% sale.
Mm-hmm.
And we are probably now 90% power.
Oh, wow.
Part of that is a shift in the economy. The other part is the shift in mentalities.
Mm-hmm.
No offense to our sailboater friends, but the first question out of most sailboaters is how much? The first question out of powerboaters is how soon? And when you look at the dichotomy of dollar figure spend, it tends to be on the powerboater side.
Mm-hmm.
And we love our sailboater friends. Sure. We really do. It's just, let's do that over the winter. We can push that off. And, hey, the boat won't sink
right
now. powerboaters say, let's get it fixed right because I want to go play.
Yeah.
So there's that change. So
and I think from my personal experience as a both sailboater and powerboater, the sailboater side of me wants to do it myself because if it's mm-hmm. in the words of the immortal Captain Ron, if it's going to happen, it's going to happen out there.
That's fair.
That's true. So I want to be familiar with
because you can't get anywhere fast. Yes.
Hey.
It's all about the experience, not
exactly.
The destination.
Exactly. Right? It's all about the journey. But so I get that. Whereas like you're saying, the power boaters are very, I want to enjoy. I've got a short window of opportunity to use my boat, and I'm going to maximize the heck out of
every second of it. Yeah. Yep. And so that's what we see on our world, right?
Yeah.
So the power boaters wind up spending more money. They may or may not spend a little more time in the yard. The sailboaters want in and out. For the most part, that's not true with everybody, but those are the generalizations.
All right.
So.
Gotcha.
I mean, I'll tell you right now that I started as a sailboater professionally.
Oh.
Professionally. And then discovered that power boaters paid more. And, and it was all over from there. Yeah.
I started out as a sailboater. Yeah. Hanging off the transom of the boat, playing with the exhaust gases.
Oh, no.
Lead paint, TBT, exhaust gases. Thanks, Mom.
Yeah.
You know, we're making this industry sound so attractive, I'm sure. So here's how we know each other, that we know each other because of boat shows. And I always have an obsession with talking about boat shows.
Yes.
You go to a lot of them.
We do a few. Not as many as you.
No. Nobody does as many as I do. Actually, there's got to be somebody who does more than I do. But I think, Who?
I was going to
say. How dare you? Who?
I was going to say.
Do we have an owl?
How dare you?
I'll tell you off camera. Or off recording, because the camera's dead at this point.
Yeah.
No. Poor camera.
As a vendor at a boat show, it's such a different experience for you. I'm rarely a vendor. I'm always a sightseer, a troublemaker, a painkiller buyer. Yes. All of the above.
An instigator.
I just have to be sober for putting the boat in and taking it out. Yeah. and the rest of the time I'm just going around trying to learn what's new, what's different, what's cool. It's how I met you the first time. But what is a boat show like for you?
It's a lot of work.
Mm-hmm.
It sounds so silly.
Preach.
But the boat has to be pretty.
Yeah.
Right? That's the first thing. The boat has to work. That's the second thing. But we also have to be personable, right?
Yeah.
When we're doing sea trials, we can't have a beer as much as we want to have a beer because that last person just asked the same question 97 times in a different format.
Right.
But it's a lot of work, you know, for the Annapolis Powerboat Show. It's 3 days of prep to make the boat pretty.
Yep.
And it's only 23 feet.
Yeah.
It's 5 days of prep to make me pretty. And I'm only 6'1". Ratio's a little off.
Yeah.
But then, you know, our days, we'll get to the shop at 8 o'clock in the morning. The show doesn't start till 10. We've got to go rinse down, chamois down, make sure the brochures are up, make sure that, you know, the display didn't blow over. Somebody didn't take something out of the display, like the whole display. Where are the boat keys? Because I'm the world's worst with keys. I will leave them everywhere. Which is why the keys to my truck are always in the bowl on my desk, because if they're not there, I won't find them ever. And then without keys makes a sea trial really hard.
Yeah, right.
Whoa.
Do we have a music list that is crowd appropriate?
Oh, my. Huh? I didn't even think about that.
I didn't either until the first boat show.
No! Oops!
There's a steep learning curve there?
Real steep.
Yeah.
Yeah, I offended little Jimmy and little Sally. That didn't go over well.
What's that word, Mommy?
Guess doing the butt is not exactly an appropriate song. Thanks, little John. But those are just some of the things. And then, like, if we're doing sea trials, safety gear.
Yeah.
Do we have the appropriate safety gear? Oh, sorry, you got to leave your kid in a stroller back on the dock because we don't have an infant life jacket.
Mm-hmm.
Those kinds of things. And, you know, then we really do have to be perky and peppy, even though, you know, it's just the DC boat show, great venue, but it rained for 4 days.
No. Yeah.
It's hard to keep perky and peppy.
That was a tough one.
Yeah. So we did things like when the kayakers went from the dock down the dock, we played Row, Row, Row Your Boat at top volume on the boat.
Yeah.
They didn't think it was funny. We thought it was hilarious. you know, but how do you keep yourselves entertained? How do you do that?
So what it sounds like you're saying is it's actually easier for you when people are there, when people are interacting with you and asking questions. What are some of the more interesting questions that people ask you? I know that you're doing Sea Keeper and Sea Keeper Ride for the most part when you're at shows. What do people ask you?
Does it really work?
Oh
my gosh, that's an easy one to answer.
Yep.
No.
No?
It doesn't work. That's why we're here.
That's why we're selling it.
That's why we're demoing it.
I know the question I've asked you multiple times.
What's that?
Will it fit?
Will it fit?
This is my boat. Will it fit in there? And
yeah, we get that question a lot.
Yeah,
a lot.
I don't know why I keep asking it. I already know the answer, but I'm like, will it fit in an airboat?
Chainsaw and a chalk line. We'll make it work.
And that's, you tell me that pretty much every time.
But you know that it's true. And it's not just that, it's, you know, because when we're at boat shows, we're also showing the work that we do. Mm-hmm. Our demo boat's 51 years old.
That's amazing.
How do you keep it pretty? Well, yeah. we maintain it.
Yeah.
Oh, what?
Well, exactly. What? It's a maintenance word.
What is this maintenance word you speak of?
So
what else do people ask you?
Oh, wow. Did you really do that 12 years ago? Meaning our refit boat.
Oh, wow.
How long does it take to put a Sea Keeper or a Sea Keeper Ride on? Those are the questions.
Okay.
And then we always get the, how much is it? That's the most popular question.
Yep.
But as Ed said, will it fit? That is the biggest question we get.
Okay.
And then we run around boat shows with a tape measure and a flashlight.
Mm-hmm.
When people aren't there, we're taking measurements of things that you wouldn't believe. And then fixing things, you know, because we're a service company too.
Yeah.
So wait,
things don't always work at a boat show.
Other boats at the show are asking you to fix stuff.
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah.
We do that all the time.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, this person came in, they fell, they put their knee into the lumber here and broke the teak. Can you fix it by
tomorrow
morning? 10 a.m.
Tomorrow morning.
Well, thank you very much for asking me, but it is 8:45.
What's the problem?
I don't. Oh my
God. As a broker, I don't see the issue here.
So, you know, we did that at this Annapolis show.
Mm-hmm.
We fixed a quick teak swim platform issue. Last year, we fixed a Sea Keeper gyro issue at the show or two. We fixed Raymarine problems. We fixed electrical problems. We fixed, you pick it.
I just love the idea of you having to go to one of the like Raymarine displays on land and having to fix it.
Well, we didn't have to do that, but we've had to go to a customer's boat with it because we're a Raymarine dealer too, with a customer's boat before the show and do software updates or troubleshooting.
Wow.
And then come back the next day and fix things. So it's a fun kind of challenge because, you know, in a boatyard, you never know what you're going to see.
Mm-hmm.
And in a boat show, we really never know what we're going to see. Is somebody going to fall in the water today? We hope so. Yeah. There's 200-to-1 odds on yep.
Is that when you blast Britney Spears, Oops, I Did It Again? Or
no. We usually play SpongeBob SquarePants when that happens.
Oh!
Pineapple
on his feet. Nice. Yeah.
I'm obsessed with everything that's happening, but I'm going to wrap this up because I'm allowed to.
We got to ask the question we never ask.
What's the question we never ask?
How can people get in touch with you?
Oh, yeah, that.
Well, we do have that amazing thing called the intraweb.
Mm-hmm.
Internet. We have a website, AnnapolisHarbor.net.
Okay.
You can look us up there.
That's a good domain name.
That is a good domain.
Isn't it? It's almost like we thought of it. Don't know why. And then we have that amazing thing that's ringing behind us called a telephone.
Love it.
Oh, very nice.
And we do occasionally answer that.
Mm-hmm.
In
between all the podcasts.
Between the podcasts.
And meetings about insurance.
Yeah. Sorry, people. Sorry.
So our phone number?
Yes, please.
410-268-0092. And we're always here to answer. You will always get a live person, not be put into the circular hole of death of pushing zero.
Okay.
Because I hate that. So if you call after hours, you're still going to get a human. We have an answering service. They will page us. It's awesome.
And honestly, nice. I feel like you can tell that there's ghosts here. I really like it. It feels historic. It feels like people, like real people are here. And it, it's just delightful, and I'm so excited that we got to come hang out
and
pet your dogs and all the good stuff.
Well, I appreciate you guys coming by.
Thank you.
Sure. Yeah, I mean, you've actually opened my eyes to several different questions I'll ask you off camera.
This has been the Funny Boat Podcast. Bon voyage. You're just making it difficult, aren't you? We're going to have to do this after hours thing, aren't
you? I know, right?
It's really complicated.
I don't think that smell was one of the dogs. I think it was Ed.